This is the Thanks for Sharing podcast, the podcast where we explore all things recovery, healing, and relationship.
Remember, you can subscribe and download episodes in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on the Podbean app. And you can find more Thanks for Sharing at www.thanksforsharingpodcast.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/healingpaths. That's paths with an S. Hi, friends. This is the Thanks for Sharing podcast. I'm Jackie P.
I'm John T.
So today's episode, we're going to continue from our last episode talking about boundaries.
Yep.
And last time we were talking about external boundaries, and now we're going to shift to internal boundaries, which are more complicated and I think the harder of the two.
I also think internal boundaries you get much more mileage off of than the external ones.
Yep.
But it's definitely a step up in skill and a step up in focus.
So when we're talking about, just kind of a quick reminder, when we were talking about external boundaries, we were talking about like distance, space, touch, that kind of stuff. When we're talking about internal boundaries, really we're talking about everything that's going on inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
So this includes our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, what we choose to do about it or not do about it, what our emotions are, what interpretation I'm giving to events. All of that stuff is wrapped up in the internal boundaries.
Yeah, like the space we rent in our mind for things,
So, and one of the exercises that sometimes I'll do with clients, or like if I'm doing a presentation on boundaries around internal boundaries, is I'll get you to, you know, get a share partner with somebody that you don't know, and then face your chairs towards each other so you're kind of knee to knee looking at each other. And then I want you to do five things. So you're going to say one thing that you can know about me is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to do that five times. And generally, you'll start to feel some stuff.
Yeah.
About like, ooh, what am I giving, right? Now, for some, I've done this before, and they don't feel anything. And they're just happy to put it all out there, right? And that usually indicates that they didn't know that they could have internal boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
That they thought that they had to be an open book and that they didn't have any determination in what somebody saw or knew about them.
That's one of the news flashes of my adult life is that like I'm a notorious oversharer. And so that that idea like, yeah, that information about me doesn't need to be out there. It doesn't have to be out there.
Yeah.
I can choose.
Yeah.
If you're asking me how things are going, I don't have to tell you everything.
Yeah.
I can give you a one-word answer, and that's okay.
See, and I always tended to be an undersharer. I remember having kind of an existential crisis in college when I was working on my degree in social work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was like, I don't share. Like, and so it was this like, I don't know that who I am and how I am can do this job, you know, and really had a kind of a crisis. Like, I don't know what else to do. But, you know, we in social work classes or psychology classes, it's not uncommon to do something similar to that. Like, get with somebody and share something about yourself, you know. So I would typically say things like, my eyes are blue. I grew up in Utah, like really benign. Like
if you can see it, I'll tell you about it.
Right. My birthday's in May, like so not any information about who I am. But that's kind of the internal boundary. So you'll start to feel that like I'm feeling some boundaries here just by saying you get to know this about me. You get to know this about me. You'll generally start to feel some boundary stuff happening.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of the internal boundaries are knowing what to do and how to handle the emotions that come with that.
Uh-huh.
I think that's a big part of internal boundaries is how do I manage the emotional landscape after I act or before I act or during my action.
Right.
I think, you know, for me, when it comes to the oversharing, one of the things that I've had to get used to when I am practicing appropriate sharing with appropriate people is there's this big piece that, you know, after I've evaluated, after I filled it out and said, I do need to take a step and share this, I'll feel this big, like, okay, now what comes next? And it's almost like this sick feeling. And I've had to learn how to tolerate that while I'm waiting for the other person to formulate a response and to respond to me authentically.
Mm.
And in the past, without those internal boundaries, I've pushed and pushed and pushed and left no room for that person to respond, and have felt like more exposed and more vulnerable at the end, because I didn't realize this at the time, but I didn't really get a read of what happened with that person, because I was so anxious about what was happening with me. I just had to keep things moving.
Uh-huh.
Instead of letting things sink in, letting there be interchange.
Well, and I think that brings up kind of this interesting dynamic when we're talking about boundaries. Because I think, you know, if you're like me and you grew up in somewhat of an enmeshed family system, which I think in a lot of family systems, there's some enmeshment. I started to learn early that what was going on with other people was about me.
Yeah.
And so it made sense that what was going on with me was about other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so, you know, like, and that can happen, things like, you know, mom saying, "You make me so happy." Right. Like, well, I don't really make anybody happy.
Yeah.
Or I shouldn't, you know, or, it just makes me so sad because you're not getting good grades. Right. That starts to say to kids, what's going on with you is responsible for my emotional state, which really isn't a healthy message to be sending kids.
Because it's not accurate.
Right. Right. But we can guilt trip kids into doing stuff, which sometimes I think is why that happens.
Yeah.
So when we start to learn about what's going on with me, and that's about me, right? But sometimes if I don't know that I get to be my own person, I get to have my own thoughts, my own feelings, my own, you know, interpretation of events, my own perspective, some of that kind of stuff, then I am kind of nervous about sharing stuff, because what does this all mean?
Yeah.
Instead of just kind of being in this place, and I think this is what internal boundaries do to us, is I get to create me, mm-hmm. and you get to create you.
Yeah.
And so what goes on with you, you know, I may say something and you may respond to that, and some of that may have to do with what I said. You know, we've talked about not being insensitive and stuff, yeah. like that, not being a jerk. But sometimes you may have a negative response, and that says something more about you,
mm-hmm.
and the lived experience and the life experience that you've had than it really does about me and what I just said.
Yeah. As you were talking about that, I was thinking about episode 18 that we did on shame, and uh-huh. healthy shame versus unhealthy shame.
Uh-huh.
And I think one of the differences is those internal boundaries, where I can tell what emotions are yours,
right.
and what emotions are mine, what actions are yours and what actions are mine.
Yep.
That doing the internal sifting, I think is difficult, because the internal dialogue we have going on also isn't always based in reality.
Right.
Sometimes I think it's kind of paradoxical about internal boundaries. One of the ways that we develop those is that we get in healthy relationships, or we develop healthy relationships where we can have sounding boards, and we can have people mm-hmm. that we consult with, and we can have people who can help us check and explore and deepen our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I think trying to get to know that landscape by yourself is really daunting, and it's really confusing.
Right.
Because a big part of that internal landscape is, how am I different from what's outside of me?
Yeah. Well, and I was thinking, I don't remember what episode this was in, but we've talked before about being relational, you know, and so you could say, you know, because I was talking about the impact that we have on each other, and, you know, some people may say, well, why would I tell anybody the impact that they have on me? You know, I'll just keep that to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So in answering that question, like, why should I tell somebody about the impact they have on me? Well, it depends on who the person is, but really that's about being relational. And it's yeah. not about saying, hey, what you said hurt my feelings, and so you have to fix that. We've yeah. talked about that.
Yep.
It's more about saying, you know, if I'm owning my internal boundaries and somebody says something and I have some feelings about that, and I have emotions and thoughts about that, I need to let them know where I am. Mm-hmm. But I'm taking responsibility for that. I'm saying, mm-hmm. you know, what you said, you may not have meant to say this, or mean, you didn't intend to mean this, but this is how that sounded to me, or this mm-hmm. is what this brought up for me, and I got to work on that.
Yeah, I think with internal boundaries, what belongs outside of us, the internal boundaries help to push that out.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's an experience or a feeling we have in a relationship, we need to bring that to the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we're taking on something that's not all ours
yeah.
to take on, and that's a boundary failure.
Or you may, you know, have like, I remember when I was young, maybe like 10 or 11, my uncle was at my house once. I don't even remember why he was there, but he was at my house and they were talking about something. And I don't remember what I said. I said something or I did something. And he just looked at me and he said, you know, Jackie, one of the things that I love about you is you are so real. Mm-hmm. And he said, but I got to tell you, you might not want people to know everything that you're thinking or feeling. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, you got to do a better job at like hiding your facial expressions because you're putting information out there that mm-hmm. you may not want others to have. Right. Mm-hmm. And he was a safe uncle. And so I didn't care if he had it, but I had to start, I was still young at that point. So I don't know that I did anything with that other than be like, whatever.
That was weird.
Yeah. But later I started to, you know, as I got older, I started to think about that and be like, yeah, that is a boundary. Like yeah. me rolling my eyes, raising my eyebrows, right? Like I might feel that internally, but I might want to hold that back mm-hmm. from certain people. I don't want them to know what I'm feeling at all about them.
And I would say the key there is it needs to be expressed somehow.
Right.
But that internal boundary helps us to determine when and who and how.
Right.
You know, it's like we talked about in the last episode, preserving our compassion. Brené Brown also talks about sharing our story with people who have earned the right to hear our uh-huh. story. And sometimes our gut reaction or sometimes our deepest feelings, they don't do well as public knowledge.
Right.
Because we need to share those with people who understand the story, who get the story and have earned the right to hear mm-hmm. it, not just whoever happens to be in the room with us at the mm-hmm. time. That reminds me of some of that when we talked about external boundaries, some of that protecting and containing.
Yeah.
I think having good internal boundaries protects us right. from a lot.
Well, and it contains our emotional reality so that we're aware of it. We need to be aware of it. But then we make a choice, right? We decide what action we're going to take with that. Am I going to let the other person know what my emotional reality is, or I'm going to keep that to myself?
Yeah.
And that's all that internal boundary stuff. Do I give information? Do I hold on to that?
Yeah. Well, and internal boundaries, you know, as we're deciding what to share and what not to share and who to share it with and who not to share it with, internal boundaries allow us to tolerate and hold the emotions that we're having uh-huh. as we're figuring that out.
Right.
Poor internal boundaries means we're going to get really emotionally reactive.
Yeah.
And we'll make decisions about what we do or how we do it based on, I've just got to get this feeling off of my plate. Mm-hmm. Not really based on what do I need, what's good for me,
right?
What's good for my relationships.
And I think this is what makes the internal boundaries more difficult is because they are more complex, yeah. right? I may have an awareness around what I'm feeling, but I've also got to assess if that feeling is accurate.
Yeah.
Where it's coming from, you know, is that coming from my story someplace? Is it, you know, maybe I'm feeling like I don't want to trust you. Mm-hmm. But if I know about myself that I tend to kind of have difficulty trusting people in general, mm-hmm. then I may pause before I decide like, oh yeah, it's right. You're not a trustworthy person. I may have to say, okay, let me think about this.
Well, and there's some emotional skill and emotional maturity that's necessary to be able to do that kind of evaluation.
Yeah.
Earlier this week, I was talking with a guy. We just barely started working together. We've had maybe 3 or 4 sessions. And we've talked from the very beginning. He said, my boundaries suck. Like, I say yes to what I shouldn't say yes to. I say no to things that I really want to say yes to. And so I told him, like, learning how to set boundaries is going to take a while and it's complicated. But I want you to just start thinking about, like, how close are people to me and how does that make me feel? Mm-hmm. So he came to our sessions this week and he said, John, I feel like I'm a 5-year-old trying to figure this out. Mm. And I said to him, that feels emotionally accurate. And we talked about what was going on in his life at 5. Mm. And that's exactly the kind of stuff that he wasn't allowed to figure out, where he showed up, who showed up with him, what happened there,
how he felt, how
involved he got. And so in his process of setting boundaries, we're really going to be working on him starting to accept and be comfortable with, you've got a 5-year-old skill set on this right now, which means you're probably going to be really good at saying no. Mm-hmm. And he was also saying, I feel so bad about how hard I've been putting my foot down, which again, that's a 5-year-old mm-hmm. skill set. And so I think being able to accept where you're at when you start setting boundaries,
right.
gives you a lot of that internal compassion, that self-compassion, to know that it's going to be messy.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's some of the stuff that happens when we start to set boundaries is, number one, I have more awareness, which is good and hard.
That was another thing he said, too. I don't know how I feel about seeing so much and feeling so much.
Yeah. Yep. So that's one of the things that, we will notice as we start to set boundaries. The other thing that we'll start to notice is when we really have healthy boundaries, it kind of takes the blame game away.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not able to just blame people the way that many of us love to do.
Yeah. And as I've worked with, there's another guy that I'm working on with boundaries right now. And that's one of the things that he's noticing is he's becoming more aware of his boundaries. He's moving much quicker to, I really can't talk to my partner that way.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, it's not fair that I go to this thought to guard against my shame. I need to change that. I need to shift that. And when we, I think, you know, back to our episode about healthy shame, I think when we've eliminated the blame game, or when we are committed enough to our own health that the blame game doesn't really work, then we're faced with a lot of healthy shame. And part of what we're talking about in setting those boundaries is getting clear on what your intention was in the first place.
Right.
So that when you make a mistake, you can see how your actions lined up with your intention and then get connected with your values. Did you do that in a way that connected with your values? And if not, how do you go back and apologize?
Right.
Or how do you go back and make amends? Or how do you go back and try that again so that you can do something that matches your intention and matches your values, rather than this striking out, I'm saying no to everybody, I'm hitting everybody, but I'm not proud of that.
Right. So yeah, I think it starts to move us towards some ownership.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes me think, one of my favorite parts in the AA book is when it talks about, you know, we stepped on the toes of our fellows and they retaliated. And then it talks about, you know, these are more my words. This is not the words from the book, the big book. But it will kind of say, you know, upon further investigation, like, it seemed like I had done nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And people were just stepping on my toe. Or no, like, I see it as this picture. Like, I'm stepping on people's toes. They're kind of saying, ow, 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 ow. And then they finally push me. And I'm like, how rude.
Yeah.
Why would you push me?
Yeah.
But upon further exploration, I'm like, oh, I was stepping on toes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where some ownership starts to come, right? Rather than just blaming and being the victim, I get to blame people and then I get to play the victim. All of a sudden, my boundaries are requiring me to have some ownership, some awareness.
And I, a lot of the clients that I work with, their first attempt at boundaries is this very big focus on where everybody else is at.
Mm-hmm.
I need to set a boundary because my spouse did this and it makes me feel bad and they can't do that anymore.
Yep.
And that emotional maturity that shows that some of those internal boundaries are starting to work is when they start to shift in and say, okay, yeah, my spouse did that and that really hurt. How did I set that up?
Right. How was I part of the problem
how
that
was
I'm
I
complaining
part of that?
About?
And so the boundary doesn't just become about communicating to the spouse, like, hey, when you cross this line, it hurts me. It also becomes about what's my responsibility in maintaining that line.
Right.
And so that boundary may be, there may be a couple angles to it. Like, I may ask you for your help in being soft with me here. I may also say, as part of my commitment to boundaries, when I'm feeling emotionally elevated because we're in this situation, I'm giving myself a timeout.
Right.
Because I'm not in accordance with my values there, and certainly what I'm doing does not match the intention of what I want to do.
And that's the other thing that can happen when we start to set boundaries is we find that sometimes people don't like it.
No.
And sometimes it's just because this is new, we haven't really interacted this way with each other, but they will learn and grow with us.
Yeah.
And other times they're like, no, you need to go back to how it was before.
Yeah.
And so some people may kind of fall out of your life because they don't understand the need for healthy boundaries.
I know. I would say also some aspects of relationships will fall out of your life if that doesn't. Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody else this week. We've worked together for a few years. We were talking about where resentment comes from him in his relapses. He was saying, I had this resentment fueled retaliatory relapse after my wife and I had an argument. And I've been seeing that for years and trying to talk to him about it. And he picked that right up this time. And I said, that's kind of big that you're saying that's anger fueled retaliatory. And I said, so where was your voice? Like, where did you not feel heard in the argument? And he was talking about, you know, I felt like I needed to say this and I didn't because I was afraid of how she was going to react. And then almost immediately he's like, you know what? We actually had a disagreement a few days later. And I feel like I stayed really firm with what my position was. And I didn't do my normal attacking and I didn't do my talking down. I just said, you know what? That doesn't sound like a good idea to me. I'm not open to it the way that it's working right now. I would be open to it if we could, whatever. And he said, I'm astounded. That seems to work better with her. And I said, I don't know that it's about her. Like, I think that works better for you.
Right.
To be able to do that because, like, you might see some relationship benefits there because, like, who wants to be with this amorphous blob that just molds to whatever they're doing? I said, I think it's appealing to a lot of partners to have someone who's differentiated, and you haven't really been willing to do that before because of the price that you have to pay. And you've been paying that price. It's been difficult. But now the relationship feels like it's starting to adjust, and you're both starting to say, maybe it feels good to know exactly what you're thinking and feeling, even if it disagrees with me.
Right.
Because I know where you're at now.
Yeah. I think it's helpful to be able to communicate to people, I don't think that's going to work for me, or I think it could work, or here's where I'm at with that. I think, you know, oftentimes it is going to work better. Yeah. And then the other person may say, okay, well, this isn't going to work for me, right? But now we actually are having productive conversations, and we have both people owning who they are internally and what will work or what they might consider versus what I won't consider.
Yeah, which I would say is the very basics of boundaries, is that we are starting to own and state our feelings.
Right.
And stating them appropriately and respectfully and without stepping on the toes of others. But that's where it starts. I feel.
Yep.
And then our partner, whoever we're with, starts to communicate, I feel. And that's where we really start to gauge, okay, where do I belong with this person and what's comfortable and what's appropriate and what makes sense and what works.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why I still maintain that so much of what we talk about in therapy centers on, can we do the boundary piece?
Yeah.
Because if we can't do the boundary piece, a lot of other stuff is going to collapse.
Yeah. So we'll be back next week starting our series on the 5 things functional adults can do, which is going to further some of this boundary stuff and hopefully open up some more ideas.
Thanks. Sorry.
You take it.
Okay. At the end of this episode, we want to remind you that your story matters. Remember, there is something meaningful in every chapter. Don't wait to share your story till it's finished.
You can share your story with us on Facebook. Our page is Healing Paths, Inc. or on our website, www.thanksforsharingpodcast.com. And don't forget, now we have a comment section, so let us know what you thought about this episode. Thanks.
This podcast is solely for the purpose of information and entertainment and does not constitute therapy, nor should it replace competent professional help.
At the end of another episode, we want to remind you that nobody has time for perfection. We are pursuing progress.
And remember the prayer of the perfectionist. Help me remember I can't do it all. Help me to take things one step at a time, and that the only step I need to focus on is the next right step for me.
Help me to remember that life is a journey. Help me to be able to separate all that I am learning from all that I have to do. Help me to remember that I am not alone, that I can ask for help. Help me to strive for frequent awakenings, not mastery. I am enough. Amen.